Hello and welcome to another edition of Chesapeake Hockey Week. I am your host, Scotty Waz. How's it going, everybody? Hope your weekend went well. Aside from a crippling cold, the flight back went well, and thanks to everybody who I saw during the trip and said hi and made their way and da-da-da-da-da. It was an awesome time, for sure. I enjoyed myself, but now we're back in the cold confines of North Dakota. This week, a little heaping help into everything right now. We got the Black Bears were on the road trying to defend their point streak. Team Maryland had a game at home before going on to their final showcase of the year. Stevenson's D3, Stevenson Women, Stevenson Club. It's a Stevenson whole block of fun facts there. And also Navy D2 back in action. We'll get to some high school stuff too. Why not? We got the time. We got the availability. Easy for me to say. And then also the players. But we'll talk a little bit about the Maryland Black Bears, who earlier this week finally made a tender to Chase Tallaire, who is a forward who has played with the team before. He played during Military Appreciation Weekend, I do believe. So he's familiar with the team and familiar name to the squad. He has actually officially signed his tenure. He's been playing with the Sioux Indians of the Midget AAA in Michigan. So good pickup for them. 35 goals, 47 assists over 148 games. And he's a Christmas baby, too. 5'10", 160. And he will be part of the program going ahead next season. So a big pickup for them. A nice building block to start off for next season. And it's a known denominator as well. So we will see how this goes. Congratulations to Chase and congratulations to the Black Bears for making this official this week. And then they were on the road in Wilkes-Barre-Scranton. Not the results they were looking for. Not the results they were looking for at all, as they were swept this weekend by the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Knights. Friday night at overtime loss, 4-3. Things got started on the right foot, at least. No scoring in the first period. Aiden McDowell gets things going in the second period. Coming in from the slot, didn't see all the goal because there was a little broadcast issues Friday night with Wilkes-Barre's feed. So didn't see the full play develop, but looks like Aiden McDowell came into the slot. Potted one home, his fourth of the season. Kyle Alexiak and Cam Recchi on the assist. Zach Curry gets one back for WBS before Thomas Jarman lets one go. A nice little wrist shot high on the blocker of Alex Conti, his fourth of the season as well. Braden Stannard and Jackson Sterrett on the assist on that one. Wilkes-Barre gets the next two late in the second. And then late into the third period on the power play, Johnny Calgin on the one in the second, and Spencer Kring on the power play goal. Then Andrew Reamer, who had gotten the penalty, in a very not penalty-filled affair, he had gotten the penalty for boarding, which resulted into the Kring goal, gets one back with the goalie pull, his second of the season. Alexiak and Logan Kahns on the assist on that one with just under a minute 30 remaining, and then almost two minutes into OT. Caden Meyer with the breakaway ends it, and that's all she wrote on that one. Cooper Black, 39 saves in the losing effort on that one. Quick turnaround. It was a 7 o'clock game on Friday night and a 3 o'clock game on Saturday afternoon. So this series was done in less than 24 hours. And the Black Bears, even though they got off to a quick start, kind of falter a little late. 4-2, the final for Wilkes-Barre-Scranton. Hampus Rydquist gets things going early. The nice little shot, eighth of the year for him. Ethan Heideprim and Recchi on the assist. Then Logan Kittleson going down deep, getting his fourth of the year. Philip Jakobsen and Thomas Jarman on the assist there. Then it was the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Knights from that point forward. Arthur Taransky on the power play, then Lincoln Hatton, Zach Curry, and then Hatton again on the goals. That was all she wrote. 38 saves for Andrew Takis in the losing effort here. Now, this is big in the fact that Maryland's not only their point streak over at eight games, but they are now fourth in the standings in the East Division. Wilkes-Barre jumps over top of them with their 4 points. So Maryland in the fourth and final playoff spot with 38 points. They are 6 points clear of Maine, who Maryland has 3 games in hand. So that's a big boost for them as well. The Northeast Generals are 10 points behind, and they have 3 games in hand on the Black Bears. So a lot of math going on here, and we can't count out the Jamestown Rebels either, but Maryland has two games in hand on them as well. So we'll see how this all boils down. Maryland 6-2-2 in their last 10. Three-game losing skid, even though they've gotten points in the last two of the last three games. Over 500 record, at least 16-14-6, and they face the daunting matchup coming up this week, which we will talk about a little later. Team Maryland had a lot going on this week. They finally get back home after a huge, huge time away from Piney Orchard Ice Arena. They took on the Philadelphia Little Flyers, and they came up just a bit short as the Little Flyers win 4-3 on Friday afternoon, Friday morning, actually. Dennis Arkhipenko got the things going after the Little Flyers scored 25 seconds in 3:21 of the first period. Arkhipenko on even strength for Tristan Mock and Jackson Dobick. Then the Little Flyers score three in a row in the second period before Arkhipenko gets one on the power play from Tristan Mock and Bobby Guyer. Then Johnny Jackson on the power play from Guyer and Arkhipenko late into the third period, but that's all she wrote on that one. 4-3 the final. Zach Richards with 29 saves in the losing effort. And then they go up to Exeter, Massachusetts, that kid. And they took on the showcase, the final showcase of the year. Sunday night, they took on the East Coast Wizards and win in a shootout 3-2. A big victory for them. I think they're first of any of the showcases, maybe second, but they haven't won much in the showcases there. John McDonald shorthanded got things started in the first half. Jay DeRuiter and Vincent Maurice, the Space Cowboy, gets one there. Then just over a minute later, East Coast ties it back up. Then the Wizards get things going 7.5 into the second period before Cody Rumsey, with about just over halfway through the half, gets a goal there from Jay DeRuiter. Nothing scoring in OT. And then Bobby Guyer gets the shootout winner on that one. Peter Salas with 40 saves in the winning effort. A big night for him in a first start in a little bit. So it was a heck of a game. But this game that was very impressive for the Team Maryland, I thought, was their game this on Monday. As I record this, I watched this game earlier, and it was a back-and-forth shootout between the Boston Junior Rangers, who, coming into it, the hottest team in the EHL, 13-game winning streak for them, and Maryland kept up with them tit-for-tat. Even though they got the Boston Junior Rangers got two in the first two, 2:50 in, and then 22 minutes in before Johnny Jackson got a nice little goal from Cody Rumsey and Jay DeRuiter to end out the half. Then Team Maryland gets things going in the second period. John McDonald, even strength, goal unassisted all by himself. Then Boston gets one back to get the lead again. And then Jay DeRuiter shorthanded, his fourth shorthanded goal of the year and his first since the first series of the year. And then Connor Ball gets one even strength, puts Maryland ahead 4-3. Jeff Redman on the goal or on the assist there. And then Joey Schaefer for Boston and Nathan Young late into the matchup ends it for Boston. Very, very tit for tat game. Like I said, very back and forth. A lot of action, especially in the second period. Very good showing from Team Maryland, even though it's not the result they wanted against a team who has won 13 straight, now 14 straight. They hung with them. And that's something you really like to see out of this team that's developing. Zach Richards, 27 saves in the loss on this one. So, tough break, but the end of the showcase is now, and for here on out, it's home cooking. Home cooking for Team Maryland as they finish out their schedule at home, which is going to be huge for them overall. And as we sit here, standings-wise, the top six in the Mid-Atlantic division will make the playoffs. And as it stands right now, Team Maryland is in a fifth spot, and they're 8 points clear of the Junior Flyers in sixth, and they're going to get in because Apple Corps, who is the seventh team, is a good ways away. It's 18 points to that one with very few games left. So we'll see how it happens. And Apple Corps has lost six, and Maryland is taking on North Carolina, the Golden Bears, like 42 times in the next 6 weeks. And the Golden Bears have lost 26 in a row. So I'm not saying it's a lock. I'm saying the odds are forever in their favor. So here's hoping that the things can hold. And then Team Maryland will be in the second season, which will be huge for them coming from what they had last year. So somewhat a mixed results weekend, mixed bag weekend, but something that can be built off of for Team Maryland. We start our Stevenson block with the D3 team as they were back in action again, back-to-back games on Friday and Saturday. Not the results they wanted for the team that was 10th ranked up this weekend. I'm sure that that ranking will change this week. They'll probably still be in the top 20. But as of now, they took on Geneseo, another hot team in D3 hockey. They lost that one, even though they got the first goal. Luke Benitez keeps on going on the power play from Aaron Murray and Nick Gray. And then it was all Geneseo from that point. Six straight unanswered goals in the second and third period. And that is all she wrote on that one. Ryan Kenny suffers his first loss of the year. 33 saves in the losing effort for that. Just didn't seem like their week, their night. It happens. They were on a roll there, and, you know, you get knocked off, things happen. Then the next night, a heartbreaking loss to SUNY Brockport, 4-3 in overtime. Stevenson got on the board in the second period early again. Dominic Brenza from Carl Leiden and Christian Ripley. Brockport gets one back, and then with 15 seconds remaining, Ripley gets his gets a goal for himself. Aaron Murray and Brenza on the assists. 6 minutes into the third, almost 7 minutes, Carl Leiden gets a goal, making it 3-1. Aaron Murray on the assist. Then Brockport gets a power play goal less than 2 minutes after that. And then 17 minutes into the third, they tie the game. And then under four minutes, 3:38 into OT, they end it. And that is it. Two straight losses. Ryan Kenny hampered with the loss again. 29 saves in the loss there. The men's team, as it stands right now, they're 10-3-0. What can you do? It is what it is. They lost two so far. The conference play, 7-1. Bound to happen. You can't have – sometimes you really can't have a hot team go throughout. You got to have bumps in the road, which stinks this close to the end of the season. But the lumps were going to happen. This is a team that is built to pretty much bounce back. So Dominic Dahl is the coach. I think we'll be able to readjust as we get into the nitty-gritty here of the season, as they're going to start playing pretty much every weekend until the end of February when their season ends before conference tourney time. So not a great weekend for the men, but the women kind of helped be able to soften the blow there as they went up to Pittston, PA. They came in after the Maryland Black Bears. They went up to the exact same rink that the Black Bears played in Wilkes-Barre. And they give King's College a nice little crowning as the Stevenson women win 9-2 with a 2-3-4 scoreline in the first, second, and third. Got started off on the power play. Allison Barlow from Nikki Kendrick. And then Nikki Kendrick late in the first period got one of her own unassisted. 7 minutes into the second, Kendrick got her second of the game on the power play from Allie Gibson and Allison Barlow, though they gave up a shorthanded goal 13 minutes into the third. Power play kick in for the next two goals. Carly Aguirre from Alice, Ashlyn Bray and Kendrick. And then T. Ferrara 2.5 minutes after that from Caligio Zaguglia and Brianna Crossan on the assist on that power play goal. And hey, why not more power play goals? Sure. 3 minutes into the third period. Ferrara again from Barlow and Kendrick. Then Zagula 10 minutes in from Ferrara and Kendrick. Then Kendrick rounds out her hat trick 13 minutes into the third from Trinity Barkless and Bray. And then Barkless gets a goal of her own less than a minute later from Carly McGee and Brianna Crossan before Kings gets one in garbage time with under a minute. And that's all she wrote on that one. Anika Carlander, 16 saves for the win. A very big win for this team who gets their losing streak broken and then go forward and forward as they go further. The power play definitely clicking in a big, big way. 6 of 9, 66% against this Kings team, who is now just one win on the season. But it boosts Stevenson to 500. They're 5-5-2 right now. Again, a good confidence boost for them going into the second half of the season as they'll be rip-roaring ready to go because they're going to be starting to see a lot of congestion moving onward and upward into the conference finals. As they have, they're pretty much working all the way through, same as the men. The big thing here, though, this week, the MAC Offensive Player of the Week was Nikki Kendrick. 3 goals, 4 assists. That'll give it to her. 4 assists tied for second in most per game in the program. So huge daps to her on that one. To round out the Stevenson block, the club team went up to Delaware, and they lost 4-3 to Delaware in a tight one. Aaron Revenault with a goal. Thomas Falchini with a goal. And Brandon Scholes with the goals there. Tough loss for them, but they get back going, get things going as they are ready to go for the second half. Hopefully everyone back healthy again after that health scare coming back from Germany and Austria. So we'll see what this team can do moving forward with a whole heaping ton of rest as they try to make a push for the playoffs as well. As we go to the Naval Academy Division II team, they lost to the Massachusetts Maritime Academy 4-2 up in Bridgeport, Connecticut on Saturday. No reports of goals, no score sheet there, so we will have to just assume who scored the goals. But Navy D2 not really doing as well as they had hoped, I'm sure, on the onset, but they are doing what they can do with what they got. And, hey, it's a tough league. It's tough to get a goal in this league. So you gotta match to that. So especially with the big break, we'll move onward and upward as they have a break, a week off, and then they'll get back to it in 2 weeks. So for upcoming games, what do we got? The Maryland Black Bears back on the road again Friday and Saturday against the Johnstown Tomahawks. Should be an interesting one. Of course, if you hadn't heard the news, Quinn Wormuth, former Black Bears captain who was playing for the Johnstown Tomahawks, has committed to Robert Morris University and has left already to play NCAA D1 hockey. Good on him for doing that and getting out of there. So the Black Bears only had to face one former teammate in David Tomeo this weekend. Hey, Johnny P is going to be up there this weekend. So if you see Johnny P out there taking pictures, we'll dap him up. How about that? That'd be cool for him. Team Maryland, they are back at home. Like I said, for the rest of the season, they are back at home, and they will take on the North Carolina Golden Bears Sunday and Monday. Sunday evening, Monday morning. So if you guys got a chance to go check that out, I say go down to Piney Orchard and do so, if you will. Stevenson's D3 team, they are on the road. The men's team, they will be at Lebanon Valley and then at Elmira Friday and Saturday night, while the women's team is going to be the warm-up. I wouldn't say warm-up. I would say opening act. They're going to be on before the men against Elmira. It's going to be a double-hitter, Stevenson-Elmira. The women will be at 3. Men will be at 7. The women will travel to William Smith on Sunday. I don't know where William Smith is. Will Smith, Fresh Prince, I'm assuming Philadelphia. Saturday, Sunday for the women's games. Navy D1 team, they are back in action. They will be at Temple and at PSU Berks Friday and Saturday. While the Towson men, they've got themselves quite the weekend. They will be at home in Ice World on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You can check out their Facebook page about how to get tickets, or check out their Twitter to how to get tickets there. But the Towson men will take on Duquesne on Friday, and then IUP times 2 Saturday, Sunday on that one. Stevenson club team, they're back at it, but they are back home at the Reisterstown Sportplex against Scranton on Friday and then Drexel on Saturday night. So if you got a chance to go up to Reisterstown, or if you want to cruise down there or up there before the Towson men team, I don't know how the schedule works out. You want to split the difference, go ahead and do that. But check your local listings and for availability of tickets in your area. All right, let's get a little high school action in the Maryland Student Hockey League. We'll do I usually just do the all the standings, but I'm just going to do a couple of these things now. I'm not going to do all the kind of bore you guys with it all. I'll do the top four in each division, and then you guys can go to the monumentalhockeyhub.com for more there. So that's where I'm getting all my stats from. Whether they're up to date or not, I don't know. But you can go ahead and check it out. So we'll start off in the Eastern Division of things. Easton at top, tied for tops at 16 points. They're 8-0 in division, 9-0 overall. Falston has 16 points as well. They're 8-1-0, 9-1-0 overall. South River is third in the Eastern Division, 7-1-1 on the season with 15 points, and Severna Park rounds it out 7-1-0 in the Eastern Division block there. In the Howard block, Marriott's Ridge at the top, tied at the top, 6-0-1 is their record in conference, while Glen Elg is tied with them at 6-1-1. Athelton is in third place, 4-2-0 in six games played, while Mount Hebron is 4-3-0 at 8 points with that. Go to the Monessee Valley, Washington County, 9-2-0 with a goal differential of plus 35. My goodness. Urbania, second place, 6-2-1. Frederick County, 6-4-0. Carroll County, 5-4-1. In the Montgomery Hockey Conference, in the Montgomery Hockey 1, Winston Churchill, 9-0-1. They are 4 points above Wooten, who is 7-2-1. Bethesda, Chevy Chase, 7-4-0. And Walter Johnson, 5-4-1 to round that out. In the Montgomery 2, DC Stars, they are at the top spot, 7-1-0, while Northwest is at 6-4-2. Rockville Magruder, 5-1-1 with 11 points, while Montgomery Blair is 4-3-1 at 9 points, with Sherwood striking there. In the Southern Conference, Huntingtown, 7-0-0, a perfect record for them, has them topped off, while Northern is 5-1-2. Charles County, 4-2-1, and Central Maryland, 3-4-1 on that one. The leaders of the new school in terms of scoring and everything like that has Luke Rubin of the Reservoir High School leading in goals this year, 25 so far. That's a pretty big thing. While Tommy Tracy of Glen Elg leads in assist and points with 16 and 35 respectively. Jack Callahan for Mount Hebron is scoring a clip of, if I'm reading this correctly, 5 points a game. That's insanity. Well, that's pretty good going to the goalie leaders. Falston's Reese Babcock has 9 wins on the season, putting him tied for first with Blake Hunter of Glen Elg, and then Winston Churchill's Regal Goodrich. That's a hell of a name. Gavin Ross of Marriott's Ridge is the leader in the other stats for goals against average at a 120 and save percentage and a 947, while Mason Widener of Washington County leads with 4 shutouts overall. So there's your leaders for the Maryland Student League. So that's the public school league, as it were. And then we'll get to the Mid-Atlantic Prep, which is, I guess, the considered the private school situation, which I don't know. I guess dividing them up makes sense. Who am I to say? In the AA division, St. John's, they got 8 points. They are 4-0-0 in division. Georgetown Prep second, with tied for first, actually, 4-1-0. Mount St. Joe, hail, all hail, 3-2-2. I went to the game, like I said, on last Monday with a heartbreaking tie there, but they are still at the top of the charts there, with DeMatha following through there at the end, 3-2-1 in the AA division. In the A division, Bishop O'Connell running shop there, 5-0-2, leading the way. Good Counsel, 4-1-0, tied with Archbishop Spalding, 3-1-2 for second spot, while Mount St. Joseph, hey, look at these boys, 3-2-0. They are currently sitting fourth in the A division, or the Varsity 2 division, as it were. Statistically, let's look at Jackson Barbary, 17 points, 12 goals, and 5 assists, leading the way for Bishop O'Connell's teammate Jack Coaster, 5-10-15 for that one. Georgetown Prep's Alex Chicanas with 7 goals, 5 assists for 12 points, and Quinn Kennedy of St. John with 4 goals, 8 assists, 12 points. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention Farrell Din, who is a Maryland Black Bear tender and is also a Gonzaga guy. So Colin McCarthy of the Black Bears loves that. He is the rounds out the top 10, top 5 in scoring with 5-5-10 on the season, right above, tied with Dimitri Kebrew of St. John, 7-3-10 for him overall. For goaltending, however, an interesting dynamic that we have going on here, as we have a lot of guys who are kind of up and down, because it depends on how you play the game and how the goaltending is set and all this other stuff. Because you guys got guys like Kevin DiCarlo, who's played 4 games. He is only one game, however. I don't know how that works. 45 minutes, that's equals 1 game. He's got a shutout in that one. But you got guys like Colin Berkey, who's Spalding's goaltender, who is a 920 save percentage, but a 352 goals against. The goaltending stats really aren't all that great. Not going to lie to you here. So you can go check those out. Now, myhockeyrankings.com has a ranking system through the entire Maryland situation. It's kind of mixed up between everything here through their whole system, which I am not sure how it works, but whatever. This is their ranking system, much like other ranking systems. We'll see how it goes. St. John's number one is number one in the nation out of D.C., 16-2-1 this season overall. Georgetown Prep is second in the rankings at 5-2. Gonzaga's first team, 7-2-3, which is odd because they're not even in the higher tier ranking for MALP, but whatever, MAPHL, whatever it is. The Mathis number one team is fourth. Mount St. Joe's number one team is fifth ranked. St. Albans school is sixth ranked. Churchill's first team is seventh ranked. Marriott Ridge, 8th rank, Archbishop Spalding, 9th rank, and Huntingtown High School is 10th ranked in that one. So out of 64 teams, those are your top 10. I don't know how this rating system works. It's almost like an RPI. I don't know. But yeah, there is that ranking, so take those for what those worth. We'll see in playoff time how this all comes and shakes down as we're getting to it here. We're getting down to it. It should be coming up soon, I believe. I'm not entirely sure when high school season ends. Let's get to some players, shall we, as we end up this thing, and I can save my throat a little bit more trouble. Sam Annis had a pretty big weekend this week as well. 2 goals on Wednesday, a goal and assist on Friday, all against San Diego, as he continues to roll after his Player of the Week honors last week. Eric Sweetman of the Idaho Steelheads had himself an assist Sunday against Fort Wayne. Sam Walther of the Metropolitan Riveters, she only played one game, which was a loss, 846 save percentage, and I think 385 goals against because it was an overtime loss for her. So I guess it's 0-0-1 on the weekend. William Margell of the of Coquitlam, 2 assists on Sunday against Langley. Looks like Coquitlam finally lost a game, so that broke up their win streak. But they're still riding along pretty good. Bryce Montgomery of the London Knights had an assist on Saturday against Saginaw, his 2nd points of the year. Big for him. Colin O'Neill, a goal on Friday against RIT, while Jarrett Rosberg had an assist on Friday against Minnesota, while Veronica Petty continuing. Was not to be outdone with an assist on Friday against Boston College herself. So not much scoring or anything with that one, as a lot of players. Jason O'Neill's been out for an injury since late November. Doesn't seem like Aaron Randazzo has been playing a lot for Odessa, who's been going through a lot of changes down there. Adam Vargas kind of slowed up a little bit too. But we'll see what we can do next week. Hopefully we'll get more players on the board, and we'll get some more to report here. But that's it. That's done for me. You guys are great. I thank you all for listening to me ramble about Maryland hockey as you do. Appreciate it through and through. You can follow me on Twitter, Chesapeake HW Pod. For everything else, you can go to the Face Off Hockey Show Facebook page, FOHS Radio on that one. But I'm Scotty Waz. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been the Chesapeake Hockey Week podcast on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction, brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. Until I talk to you guys again in a week, or maybe sooner, depending on what happens. You guys have fun out there. Get some Natty Bow, some Wild Times. Ravens aren't playing no more. You can go out, maybe catch some high school hockey. Go down to Maryland Black Bears game when they're back in town. Go see Team Maryland. Go support them boys. And have themselves a clutch crab weekend there, hon. Talk to you then.